Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time. Again, if you've got football questions, you can start texting those in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Hello, John.
Hello, guys. Anything happened today?
Well, some guy named Mahomes, I guess, has got a lot of money coming to him. Uh-huh. I'm trying to, maybe we need you to decipher this, John, because I'm reading these tweets from Adam Schefter. It says, final Patrick Mahomes deal, 10-year extension worth up to $503 million, and it includes $477 million in guarantee mechanisms and the ability for Mahomes to have outs if guarantee mechanisms aren't exercised. Make sense of that for us. What does that mean?
To make sense of it, and again, don't everybody just stay away from the guarantee part of it, because again, I mean, you can see that it's not going to be $500 million of guarantees. What this basically is, is that, you know, he'll get a signing bonus this year, and then I'm sure there's probably a series like about three, four, or five option bonuses in the future to try to readjust, because ultimately, you know, you don't want to get $15 million, 15% of the cap, more than 15% of the cap, but also you have to make judgments as far as, okay, what's the cap going to be? And so you don't know next year's cap, although it's going to probably stay about the same, and then the year after that is not going to be as big. But you know, when the big TV contracts come in 2022, that's when you're going to see a big jump, because I think there's supposed to be about a 50% increase in the TV revenue, which right now is about 7.7. So that should probably take it up to 11, you know, and get the cap to make a big jump into the 220s. And so what you're going to see is probably just a series of mechanisms that will be option bonuses, or it's just like we've seen with, you know, Russell Wilson and stuff, and other players. It's like it's a bonus if you're still on the roster at a certain date. And so to try to make things work cap wise is going to be done like that. And so, and of course, there's injury guarantees, which really don't count as guarantees, because unless you're injured, you're not going to get the money. But, you know, it's going to be one that's going to be, it's done well because Lee Steinberg did it. And I'm sure that it's a great deal. And, you know, you think about this, it's like, oh, so does that take the market up to $50 million? No, it doesn't at all. What it does, it just basically is a $40 million deal that pretty much takes care of him most of the rest of his career. So, like, think about this. Let's say that we'll just play it right down the middle, that Dak Prescott agrees to a $35 million a year contract and does it for 4 years. Well, he could have one more contract and possibly two by the time Mahomes is done. And what we also don't know is that if this 10-year deal really kind of starts in 2022. So it's one where I'm sure his cap number is going to, you know, go up a little bit this year. It'll probably go down a little bit next year, and or stay what it's supposed to be with the fifth-year option. But in the end, he's paid, and they've taken care of the most important player maybe in the league, but certainly on their team.
John, how many years until it looks like a steal what they're paying Patrick Mahomes?
I'd say, well, look, I mean, 5 years, because, you know, because that's when, you know, like, here's Dak Prescott right now, you know, trying to get 35 in or more. You know, Deshaun Watson's probably going to get 39 to 40, and each of those guys are going to get one more contract, at least, if they are done. So you figure, okay, if you're already down below the $40 million level, you know, that next level is going to be in the 50 to 55 range, as far as, you know, just real money and all that. So, yeah, I'd say four years or so, it'll be 4 or 5 years, it'll be outdated. But, you know, again, when all these guys start getting their next contracts.
Well, John, okay, so you talk about Lee Steinberg and probably a good deal for both Mahomes and the Chiefs. Do you think he would have been better served, though, to just go for the five-year deal, since he's only 24 years old right now?
Again, waiting to see, because, I mean, really what you're looking at, it still could turn out to be a five-year deal, because if the options aren't guaranteed, I mean, and you know how the Seahawks do their options, you know, they'll go to 5 days after the end of the season, after the Super Bowl, and it's like, okay, if you're still on the roster, you get the bonus or the option bonus, and so You know, it's one that you know, you can still break it if necessary if you don't exercise that option. So, but you know, I think what it comes down to is that they had to try to put a $40 million deal plus, because let's just assume his value is 40, right? Which is everybody expected. You knew with a flat cap next year and unknown cap in 2022 that how do you try to work around that so he can get paid? And so that's what they've done, getting the flexibility of doing a deal that, works, that you can maneuver it and, hit it and all that stuff. And so, it had to be light at the beginning of it because of they only have $6.2 million of cap room as we speak. And they're still trying to see if they can do something with Chris Jones, the defensive tackle, who wants $20.1 million a year. So that's a problem. But in the end, I think it'll work out. It'll be light, and it'll be very backloaded.
John, again, you guys can text in your questions. We'll get to some of those coming up. 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, if you've got football questions for John Clayton. But, John, is this, to borrow a title from the old Brock and Salk show, is this good news, bad news, or no news for Dak Prescott?
I honestly think it's no news, because I still look at the fact that, and again, this is where the maneuvering has to be done. I think Dak's in a great spot to get some kind of a deal, but if he thinks that that's going to take it over $40 million, well, he's crazy, because right now, if you can get something because what he's looking at, and this is where he's got a little bit of an advantage over Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, his cap number next year on the second franchise is, $37.7 million. And if you combine what he's making right now, that means he's basically if they get past the 15th, he's on a two-year deal at 34 and change. Okay. So that's kind of where, Jerry Jones is with their offer. But what Jerry needs to do, because, since 2013, the cap's gone up $10 million a year. Okay? Well, that's not happening. And they've got seven other players with a combined cap number of $106 million on next year's salary cap, which is going to stay flat or go down. If you have to put 37.7 in that, that's $143 million, it's going to be tied up on eight players. I mean, you can't even field a team. Certainly, you can rework some contracts and do some extensions, but my read on it is if they go ahead and get him to the franchise tag, they're probably going to have to cut Amari Cooper, which they don't want to do. They probably have to cut their right tackle, the little Collins, and who owns what else, because they need to get a cap number of about $28 million, not 37.7, knowing that you're losing on two different ends. You don't get the $10 million increase, and you're also sitting $6 million more than what he's making this year.
I wasn't going to ask this question from the 253 because it always leads to a debate as to whether or not Snacks Harrison has been retired or not. Yeah. But the 253 says, Professor, is there still any run-stuffing defensive tackles out there on the market that the Hawks could sign?
Well, Damon Harrison looks like he still wants to play, but again, we're going to see with a bunch of these players. I'm just totaling it up. There's about 28 players right now that have been to the Pro Bowl that haven't been signed. Okay, they're still on the street, 28. Wow. Ziggy Ansah, who's been to one Pro Bowl. Larry Warford, the guard from the Saints, cut. And, you got Jadeveon Clowney, and, you got all these different guys. And so, my read on it is, it's like, okay, well, first, you'd like to be able to get a physical with them. You can't do that. But I think what it comes down to is just kind of the waiting game to see what you can do. But the run-stopping defensive tackles, and again, they may all take the position. It's like, I'm not going to go in to the start of training camp and get the virus and do this and this and this. I'd rather wait toward the end. We'll see if that's going to be the tact, because that could be the tact that Clowney might be taking. But in the end, the run-stopping defensive tackles, Damon Harrison, who still looks like he can be convinced into playing. Then you've got Marcell Dareus. You've got Mike Daniels, who's been to one Pro Bowl for the Green Bay Packers. And you got Tim Jernigan, whose deal fell apart on a one-year, $3.25 million deal with the Houston Texans.
Professor, I'm looking at Russell Wilson's contract. It runs out in 2023. He'll be 34 years old at that point. Do you think we're going to be looking at perhaps $45, $50 million if he continues to play the way that he has?
Yeah, and that's another sign that at some point you know, the Mahomes contract will be a little bit outdated, and you know, we'll see how backloaded it is. Because again, if they take a lot out of the front, then you know that number could be, you know, big toward the back of the deal. But of course, the back of the deal, because we haven't seen one like this since Dave Wyman's best friend Brian Bosworth did the 10-year deal when he came into the league from the supplemental draft. But no, I think that you know, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, in the end, Dak and Russell could ultimately make more than Mahomes, just from the standpoint that you know, they have one or two more deals left in them.
John, as far as what's going on in Washington with the potential team name change, do you think they will change it? And B, what's going on with the minority owners that have said, "All right, we're done with Daniel mm-hmm. Snyder. We don't want to be associated with him anymore." Is that because he's considering a team name change? Or he hasn't in the past, or he's just a jerk? What's going on?
He will change the name. I think the way you saw the phrasing last Friday of the way he said that I'm under thorough investigation as far as the name, and I've talked to Roger Goodell and people in the league, and we've been doing this for the last couple of weeks. He has no choice but to change the name. I mean, for several reasons. You know, you got all the sponsorships starting to lose. FedEx, you know, they have $205 million in 20 years on that deal with naming rights of the stadium. You have you know, the situation with Pepsi. You have Nike. They've pulled out. You can see that now the Redskin apparel is no longer starting to even go into Target and some of the stores nationwide, Walgreens. And so that's bad. Then the other thing, he's trying to get a new stadium in D.C., and the mayor and the people that are doing the stadium says, well, we're not going to get you anything for a stadium if you keep the Redskin name. So he has no choice. He has to change the name, and he has to change it very quickly to get it done before the start of the season. But I think it's safe to say what's ever happened in the last year, you know, particularly, you know, with his relationship with these, because Fred Smith and he were really tight. You know, Fred Smith, of course, is a minority owner. He's one of the three minority owners that eat up 40% of the ownership. But he's Fred X, and he's the one who gave him the $205 million for the stadium naming rights, which, of course, that's a, you know, that's a 20-year deal. So I think in the end, there, I think, you know, some discomfort probably in their relationships. They want out. They're having a hard time finding anybody to buy in. And that even puts Dan Snyder in a position, does he still want to continue owning the team, you know, with all that's going on? I'm sure a new stadium in D.C. would allow him to start to do that. But he has to start thinking about, you know, where the things have been. The fans are down on him. You know, it's, what, 79% attendance last year as far as capacity. You know, people aren't showing up at the games. You know, the team's terrible. They've had so many front office changes. They had to change coaches this year. So, I mean, he loves the game of football, but right now the franchise is a mess.
Why are they having a hard time finding somebody to take that ownership stake? Is it because of the stadium situation? Is it because people don't want to be associated with him? Because it feels like that's just a money-making machine. Yeah. I mean, that thing's worth billions, mm-hmm. that franchise. Most of them are. So Why would they have a hard time with that?
Well, just like you said, I mean, it prints money, even though they don't have full attendance, and so it can't be a money issue, because I think what they're the third highest ranked franchise as far as value. I think what they're worth, $5 billion. I mean, it's not as big as Dallas and New England, but it's, you know, right up there in the number three hole. So money wise, they're fine. So it has to be relationship-wise or arguments that has happened over the last couple of years as far as the direction of the team. And so, you know, they're bailing out. And one of the things that I think you have to read into this is that why are they having problems selling? Well, it's not because it's the revenue. It's a matter that probably some of the people don't want to be aligned with Dan Snyder. They're coming in.
Yeah. Have you had much interaction with him, John? Because I've heard nothing but bad things about him.
He likes my commercial. I know that. The ESPN commercial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, he always comes over and he says that. I still remember when I was president of the Pro Football Writers that we had a big battle for a whole year, because what he wanted to do was shorten the press box. He wanted to put a United suite and a couple other suites in there at the expense of the Washington Times. They wanted to move them down into a basement where they have to watch the game by TV set, and they were going to eliminate a lot of people that are writers in the area that could attend the game. So I had to battle him on that all year, and then I had a good enough relationship then that ultimately he came to our side and didn't make those changes. So that worked out. But you know, that was like the only battles I had. And then of course you'll appreciate this one. You know, he I was at the AFC Championship game in Oakland, you know, back in, what was it, 2002, and I get a call from Carl Swanson, his PR guy. And so he says, hey, Dan wants to talk to you on Monday. Can you? We'll give you a call. It's like, okay, fine. So Dan calls up, and he knows I was a good friend and a contact with Marty Schottenheimer. And so he calls me up, and he says, hey, John, I just want to let you know I'm firing your buddy Marty Schottenheimer, and you can write it. It's like, oh, okay. So after 1 year, he fires Marty Schottenheimer. So he says, I'm calling up to tell you I'm firing your buddy. Weird, but...
Hey, here's something else that's weird, John. The 49ers signed Jamar Taylor today. Why?
Well, because they had another Jones fracture. Tez Tabor, who's a cornerback that they signed last year, just a backup, gets a Jones fracture. So that's now four injuries they've had. And technically, they lost another guy, DJ Reed, a cornerback, because he got a pectoral injury. So now they got two Jones fractures, two cornerbacks down, and two receivers down. So they needed another cornerback, and so what they did is that they went to get one of the more veteran slot guys they can get, and that's why. And again, they have a great slot guy in Kawan Williams, but he's in the last year of his contract, and it's probably going to get a big deal to go someplace else. But when you're down two cornerbacks, you got to go sign somebody.
John, the 360 says, Professor, my wife and I took a gamble 2 months ago and bought tickets to the Dolphins game in Miami. Will it happen?
It should. I mean, again, I can't speak on the second wave, but based on the current waves, you know, it looks like they're still going to go off on time. And I would have to think again. I can't speak on the second wave, but as of right now, everything's planned for the regular season to start on time. Now, the only thing that could be a little bit of an adjustment, and I don't know how this fits with Seattle and Miami, probably doesn't, but you know, if college football doesn't start at the beginning of the year, and even if it's moved back to the fall or move back to spring, then I think you're going to see some flex games come in, because I think the NFL could get a little bit more money moving some Sunday games to Saturday. And if that's the case, I don't know. It wouldn't affect, I think, Seattle and Miami, because that's nobody's going to be wanting to go see the Miami Dolphins in that. But right now, it's still on.
Hey, John, with the name changes, we know the Cleveland Indians possibly going to change. What about Kansas City Chiefs? The 206 wants to know. Are they safe?
Not really, no. I mean, they could be under scrutiny, too. I mean, again, it depends on what the franchise feels. Remember, the Indians surprised everybody by putting out when nobody was knowing that it was going to happen, that they're making a consideration. You know, the Redskins were forced, basically, to make it because of the monetary situations, and the Chiefs have not reacted other than to get a deal done with Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, they, the Braves, and maybe a few others have to make some considerations and making some change. But the Chiefs, it's not 100% that they can want to stay the Chiefs.
Hey, John, there's a story, NFL.com, by Adam Rank, talking about the Vikings and Mike Zimmer being in his contract year. He's not really on a hot seat, though, is he?
I think he is, yeah. I mean, I think that he may get a little bit of a pass because of the fact that, you know, they had to let four starters on defense go, and, you know, they had to trade Stephon Diggs because he didn't want to be there, and, you know, had all the difficulties. And so they're still a good enough team that they should win 9 or 10 games. But if they have a bad year, I mean, he's on a hot seat. There's no doubt, because, the window shrunk a little bit for their playoffs and Super Bowl runs and all that stuff, which happens now every 3 to 4 years, because all of a sudden some of the guys get older, some of the guys get paid too much, and you can't keep everybody. You know, they did a good job of readjusting, but no, I think he's on the hot seat.
John, I'm seeing that the Patriots are offering free parking for home games during this season. Are we going to be seeing this in every city, where they're trying to do something different for every fan base? That I know the Giants, are one of the teams out there that told their season ticket holders, hey, you don't have to buy tickets this year. You'll still have your tickets the following season. It feels like each franchise is trying to do something, I guess, a little bit unique or different to help out the fans.
Yeah, because they realize the economics of the way things are, and, you know, they're not going to be able to get a lot of the revenue back. And, you know, trying to at least appeal to the fans. I mean, most teams, I think, are going to take the tact that they're going to, you can opt out of your season tickets this year and make one or two decisions whether you want to put it into next year's. You'll still keep your priority on the season ticket list, or you can get the refund now. I think you're seeing more teams doing that. But also, you know, that does allow them to start to shrink the list if they do have some people in the stands to say, okay, how do we, which ones do we pick to go? Because that's going to anger, if you are keeping your tickets and you want to see the games this year, you're going to want to be at the stadium. And, you know, a lot of people aren't going to do it because, you know, at the best, what are you going to see, 25%, 30% capacity? And there's still a chance that you may see none. I mean, Buffalo, for example, has pretty much said, hey, the way things are going right now, it's a none. And so you can see that probably happening in a lot of cities. But, you know, I think it's one where, you know, they're just trying to be as accommodating as they can. I mean, the Patriots are first to come out and basically say, hey, if you want your money back, we'll give your money back, but we'll still keep you on the priority list at the same spot.
Hey, John, just off the top of your head, maybe you have a database for this, but as far as, like, best free agents that are still out there, so Clowney, Everson, Griffin, mm-hmm. I guess, just to name a
couple.
Well, you
know, it's funny because let's start off
here. Who's the most likely to sign? Go ahead.
Well, again, not if it's going to take a couple weeks. I saw that the Raiders, you know, put in an offer, but it was a lowball offer on Clowney. But again, there's five Pro Bowlers on the defensive line. You know, you've heard nothing on Ziggy Ansah. You still have Michael Venn at 34. He hasn't got, and these are all Pro Bowl guys. Michael Jadeveon Clowney. You know, you got Marcell Dareus and Everson Griffin. They're among the best, but clearly Clowney's the best that's out there at this stage. You still have Devontae Freeman at running back that's still available. Then you got Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas. You know, he's out there. I mean, you got Larry Warford at guard, three-time Pro Bowler. You got two old left tackles in Donald Penn and Jason Peters. You know, they're still out there. There's some talk that, you know, Peters may end up going back to the Eagles. You know, we mentioned Mike Daniels. He's a Pro Bowler. He's been there. And then Vontaze Burfict, Clay Matthews, Terrell Suggs, who's 37 years old. So there's a lot of players right now that haven't had homes, and they're waiting. You got a safety like Rashad Jones, a two-time Pro Bowler, sitting out there.
Professor,
by the way, I did work on my database.
Oh, nice work there, Clayton. Holy smokes! I just thought, well, one or two, and yeah, that was great.
John, the funniest thing I heard today was Cam Newton on Instagram saying, "I'm getting tired of being humble." He doesn't strike me as being a humble guy. And then he came out with, he compared himself to a lion, and when a lion roars, everything stops, and I'm about to roar. I suppose on the one hand, if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm excited about, yeah, I got the cocky Cam Newton coming to town. On the other hand, I'm thinking, oh, I'm not so sure about this. What do you think, John?
Well, if he's going to be humble, he's got to start wearing hoodies, just like Bill Belichick. I mean, even though Bill's not humble, it's like, But to say that, you know, he's tired of being humble. I mean, okay, he took a couple weeks until he got a job, and now he's, you know, is he going to start making Baker Mayfield type comments? It's like, come on! I know you got a chip on your shoulder. You didn't get any money in free agency, but let's be real about this. Again, it was a good move for them to sign him. I mean, you took the chance in being able to take the low deal and being able to get a job, and you have a chance to get a starting job. But you know, let's have the actions go before the words.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. If you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, you can download the podcast at 710sports.com. And